Denise are back.
Debbie's back.
Johnny's back.
Jerry's here.
Julie's back.
Is Kaz there?
He said earlier his phone was gone, Dad. So.
Kaz here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Superb. Okey-doke. Now, I know that Jerry has taken quite a bit of time and tried to prayerfully put together a message for us today. So I'd ask that we all hold him up in our prayers, listen to the words, and ask God that would open his mouth and mind and our ears and mind so that what we need to learn and what we need to focus on would be that which we receive from this message. I give you my fellow servant, Jerry Kicks.
Thank you, Johnny. I would emphasize the request for prayers that you would lift me up as you would yourself, that we would speak the truth and that we would learn the truth and be able to apply it to our lives. In Sunday school, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about philosophical things, empirical truth and Hellenian thought and Pythagorism and all kinds of things. But today, I purely seek to speak the truth as it was taught by Jesus. And what I'm going to really focus in on today is prayer. And I doubt that this will be what you would call a classical sermon on prayer. I really want to focus particularly on the attitude with which you go forward to pray to our Heavenly Father. So, that being said, I'm going to be talking a lot about kind of your attitude, how to go forth, what's important when you go to pray. I'm going to start by reading out of the third chapter of Proverbs. Give you a minute to turn there if you've got your books. And I'm going to start reading with the first verse. It says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk on thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Then it goes on to say, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thee not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That probably seems like a somewhat an unusual passage to read as I start a sermon on prayer. But I want to point out a few things that stand between us and him. And to tell you the truth, that's the key thing to be mindful of in prayer. What is between us and him? What is it that gets in the way? I want to jump back over to a sermon all by itself. It's the verse in the Bible that I consider all framing. The verse that I think seems to balance everything and put everything into perspective. And it's the first verse of the first chapter of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I think that frames what we're going to talk about. He is God. He is absolute. There's nothing that we have that he didn't give us. It's all to his credit. It's all within his power. And he is God, not us. It's his will, not ours. Let me tell you a story a little bit, just to kind of frame a little bit when we talk about the things that get in the way. And then I'm going to follow it by reading out of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. So if you want to turn there and stick your finger in it, let me tell you my little story. Some of you may have heard it before, and it's just a parable. It's not necessarily true. I use a couple names. I'll use Jerry and Cindy. I'll just pull some names out of the air. There was this old, old couple, and their name was Jerry and Cindy. And they had some tax things to take care of, and they were going to have to do it in person, and they were going to have to do it downtown. And so this was not something they did very often. Jerry just wasn't familiar with the roads downtown. He wasn't familiar with the buildings, and so he did some research to figure out where he was going, did a lot of looking at maps, and got up early that morning when he had his appointment to go do the things downtown, and he got in his car, and he headed off. Well, Cindy was pretty worried. Jerry didn't drive as much as he used to, and here he was going to be taking on downtown traffic and going down there by himself, and so she was thinking about it and worrying about it, and she was watching the news, trying to listen to traffic reports and so forth, and lo and behold, she was listening to the news, watching the reports, and there was a car headed the wrong way on the freeway. And she was so upset. It was the freeway he was supposed to be on. And so she quickly dialed his cell phone, and she got him on the line, and she said, "Oh, Jerry, be so careful." She said, "There's somebody driving the wrong way on the freeway." And Jerry goes, "That's not the half of it. There's 1,000 of them going the wrong way on the freeway." And what I'm trying to point out is that is actually what it says here in the 13th or the 16th chapter of Proverbs, that the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You can get so off track, and even though everybody else may be going the right way, you're still so confident in yourself that you're able to just simply go the wrong way. And I think that confidence in ourselves is misleading. Let me go ahead and read out of the Proverbs 16th chapter. It says, "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." I hope everybody understood my little story. He was actually the one going the wrong way on the freeway, okay? Draw that to a conclusion. "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And I kind of like that last verse too, because I think there's an opposite side. It has to do with judging right and wrong by what everyone else is doing. The direction everyone's going on the freeway was just a parable, but the direction that people are going in life can also be an obstacle. It applies a lot of peer pressure, and just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it the right thing. So this can also be misleading. Let me go back to what I read originally, too, in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Verse 5 of the 3rd chapter of Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." I heard a story one time, and it unfortunately this was a true story, and it was about a young man who was seeking the Lord's will, and he happened to be seeking the Lord's will while he was in the car, and he just felt this strong impression that the Lord told him to just drive right through a red light, and so he did it. Everyone lived to tell about it, and there was no serious accident. But I think that life isn't, truth isn't, just about the impression in your heart. When you have the desire, the impression to do something, that doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that we necessarily learn the direction of the Holy Spirit in a single second or in a single heartbeat. I think it needs to be a pattern in our lives, something that we truly learn to do with a lot of practice. And a lot of practice kind of results in righteousness. It results in a different way of living, behaving, a different attitude, and cultivating an openness and a listening ear to what truly is the will of the Lord and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think I'm going to be talking a lot about today, is if you're going to pray, and you're going to pray for the right things, and you're going to pray knowingly and with wisdom, it's going to be because you're being directed by the Holy Spirit. So we got a serious discussion about a relationship here. One time I was talking with a friend, and I just simply asked her if she was going to repent of something. And she said, no, not right now. I realize I have a problem, and I'm literally going to pray and talk to the Lord and get close to Him first, and I'm going to change my ways, and then I'm going to say I'm sorry and ask for direction to do better. And I don't know if I completely agree with her, but I don't feel like there was necessarily all bad in what she was saying. I think it's important that when we repent, that when we approach the Lord, that we have the right attitude. And I think that's actually what she was saying. She was going to try to have the right attitude when she got to the Lord, and she didn't feel like she had it yet. So I think there was something to learn from what she had to say. So don't lean on your own understanding when you go before the Lord. Let me turn to Psalms, the 66th chapter, for another just very short reading. And I'm going to start reading with the 13th verse in this chapter. It says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vow, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, and the Lord hath not, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And I believe what this person here is speaking about is that the Lord heard his prayer, and that he knew if iniquity was in his heart, that the Lord would not hear his prayer. And so he felt like the Lord had heard him, and he was grateful. And I think that the reason I read this really is to think about when you go before the Lord is, what is your attitude? In fact, I went to look, because often I'm curious when they use a word in the Bible, what was it interpreted from? And And so I went into my Strong's and I looked up this passage and read about it a little bit. And the word, on the 18th verse, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. And I looked it up, and when it talked about regard, it talked about that if I see it, if I acknowledge it, if I, it used several words. One of the ones was, if I respect it, if I pray in respect of iniquity, that he won't hear my prayer. And I believe that that's, you know, when it talks about laying off every heavy weight and then running the race with patience, that iniquity is part of that weight. And when we go to pray, we have to put off iniquity. We have to work on being pure in heart when we go before God. I remember as a child, it was, I don't know, somebody who taught me, really impressed on me this need for being pure in heart. And so when I would pray my little private prayers, that's one of the things I would pray about, is that he would help me, that I would be pure in heart. And here we have it cropping up again, that it's very important when we go forth in prayer that we be pure in heart. Let me go now also to James, the first chapter in relation to prayer. Is there anybody out there? It's so quiet. Is everybody muted?
Yeah.
I was going to ask one question. I think you answered it pretty well, Jerry, but it was, you're talking about the regarding of iniquity, and it's kind of like respecting or harboring or tolerating, even maybe. Just
yes.
Giving yourself excuse for
iniquity
in your heart.
I think we'd like to say, I'm just a man. We all have sin, you know. Only instead of just recognizing it, we're actually harboring it or using it as an excuse that we don't intend to do better.
Right. Or we think we have all this time to repent or fix it later, and you might not have that time.
Thanks, Benny.
Yeah.
Did that do it?
He had a question, too.
Okay. I'm listening.
If you're mad, is it a bad time to pray?
No.
Okay.
I think you have to work on that. I think you have to be... Truly, yes. I think that's partly why you're asking your question, is that you understand, too, that you have to be responsible for the way you feel, for what you harbor in your heart. And that, you know, I myself, I hesitate to pray if I feel angry. But maybe it's time for a story. I was up on the side of my house working when I lived in Missouri, and I had very little time to get what I needed to do. I got a call from my uncle. Cindy came out and got me off the side of the house and said, you got to go over to administer to Jaron. He's sick. And I have to tell you, and I confess, and I know this was wrong, that I was angry. I was upset. I had been interrupted so many times, and I wasn't getting the work done. And in spite of the way I knew I was supposed to feel, I didn't feel right. But I had to get down, and I had to get in the car, and I had to go there right now. And I was working on my heart, and I was praying while I was driving over there, and believe me, I got there too quick. My heart wasn't really fixed yet when I got there. But I sat in the car just for a couple moments just to keep praying and trying to correct my heart. But I had to go in, and I needed to get the job done. So I went in, and when I got in there, Jaron was literally laying on the bed in the back room with both arms up around each side of his head, and he was crying, and his face was bright red, and he was rolling back and forth with pain in his ears. And I just asked everyone to kneel beside the bed, and we had prayer, and I administered to him. And I got up, and immediately I excused myself and said, I can't stay and talk. I'm going to have to go home right now. I'm right in the middle of a job. And Uncle Warren said, look. And we looked, and Jaron was off the bed. And was running around the house with his brother, and he was laughing and playing. And so I kept repenting, and I prayed all the rest of the way back home. So did it make a difference? I think the Lord was strong in Jaron's behalf, and that I was weak and erring, and that my heart wasn't right. But I don't think it would have been the right thing not to go, not to be in God's service, and not to to pray and ask that blessing on Jaron at the time. I hope that's an example that means something to you. I think sometimes we need to be immediate in prayer, and we can't let our weaknesses distract us from that. Does that make sense, Tim?
Okay.
Katie? Is it Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said yeah.
Okay. And the fact is, God can change your heart, and that's what we're seeking when we concentrate on trying to listen to the Holy Spirit when we go in prayer. It's not just about the substance of what we pray for, but the influence that the Holy Spirit has on us, on our heart, on that purification when we come before Him, and so we seek Him. I think I was turning to the first chapter of James. I think I'll start with the fifth verse, because time's gotten by me way too fast. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Really what I wanted to get there is to ask for God's direction, to ask for wisdom. You don't have to doubt Him. If anything, you doubt yourself. You don't lean on your own understanding. You seek His understanding, His wisdom. Let me go to James, the third chapter. the brief, so I'm going to jump around a little bit as I read in here. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Let me jump over to the 8th verse. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And part of what this is getting at is, you know, it says that when we come together before the Lord to pray, and there's more than one of us, or one or two, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He says to agree. But we need to agree when we go forth in prayer. And I think here it's even, I'm emphasizing the importance of when you go to the Lord in prayer, agree with yourself. Don't be double-minded. And I probably misspoke myself when I said agree with yourself. Seek the Lord's will. Try to be in agreement with Him. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I think it says it the best, or the verse in here that really pulls this together, I think, is the 17th verse, where it says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And it had already contrasted kind of the ways in the thinking of man above. And that's not what we want when we go forth in prayer. We want to be in agreement with God. So let me jump on ahead. Chapter 5, James. I want to start with the eighth verse. It says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take thy brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? sing songs? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I wanted to bring there the power of the Lord's listening ear to a righteous man. So I do believe we got to do our homework. We have to be His people, do His will. And it makes a huge difference when we go to pray. I just can't cover this fast enough. Let me go. I'm going to turn to... since I'm kind of talking about this, let me turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter. Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Excuse me. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I'll cut that one off there just for time's sake. And I will move on to John, the 14th chapter. Not 1 John, but the Gospel of John. In the 14th chapter, and I'll start with the 5th verse. It says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we can know the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I not been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. The Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Part of why I read that was not just realizing who we depend on. I read this in connection with what I read out of 1 John, where it talks about that the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, there are one, and that they are the three that are in heaven, and that's who we go to. And when we pray, as it says here in John the 14th verse, John the 14th chapter, that when you go to the Lord in prayer, that you pray in Jesus' name. One of the things I read, I was going to read the whole chapter in 1 John. It talks about, you know, you get down to the end of it, I believe. I've turned away from it now, but it cautions you about idols. That when you go pray to God and pray in Jesus' name, you don't pray to other people. There are so many people that are of good report that we love dearly. And when they've gone on, you can't find in the scriptures where it tells you to pray to them. You pray to our Heavenly Father, and you get to pray to Him directly. And you pray in Jesus' name. There's other things that you will find that
to a great deal of importance when you go before the Lord, that when you pray for forgiveness, if you read in the 6th chapter of Matthew, that if you pray for forgiveness and you don't forgive those that trespass against you, then it says he won't forgive you. It's not as simple when you pray as just being able to go and ask, and the Lord is like a big vending machine, and he just simply gives you what you want. You are not God. He is God. He is in charge. And when we pray seeking his will, to be his servant and to do his will. So we come in patience. Yes, we have so many things we want ourselves. Put those in a basket of patience. Let them be surrounded by it. And if you ask, truly ask, wanting to know his will in these things that you ask for. He's not simply here to serve you. Brings me to a place I didn't really want to be. I wanted to read some things to you that I think for the sake of time I'm not going to be able to read all of it. And so I know you kids, you're just going to love this. I always did when I was a kid. How about a little homework? My kids are groaning.
Homework is not.
I would like for you to read all together, just to sit down in one reading, so that you don't get the things out of context. In the Book of Mormon, starting on page 160, the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi, read through the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapters. It's actually a short reading. It's not a long assignment. And for my sermon, I will just stick to reading just a short part of it, asking that you go back and read all of it. If you'll turn to chapter 14 of the second book of Nephi. I'm going to start with the first verse of the 14th chapter. Because I know this is, and now, behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you, that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way, and that way it's talking about, if you read that 13th chapter, it's talking about repenting and being baptized. So if you enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh,
the things which ye shall which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge, when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. For behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And let me just say this by way of wrap-up. I've heard people talk before about something they call praying in the Spirit. And I believe that that's what I've been trying to speak to you about today. That when you go unto the Lord, that you go with the Holy Spirit. And that you behave, have the attitude of heart that makes the Holy Spirit welcome with you. That guides you when you pray, so that you don't multiply many words. But that when you pray in agreement with those that you pray with. That when you pray in agreement with your Heavenly Father, knowing that you are man and that He is God. And in that you can have such confidence, knowing that He's not guided by the feeble ignorance of man, but He's guided by the wisdom that He holds, the wisdom of God. And that if He sees fit not to do things as you want, have patience. Because what He wants is the best for you, the best for your eternal soul. And in the end, that's what makes the difference. There are things that happen in our lives that are sad. I was sad when I heard about the death of Arden Ealy. And, I haven't been around him in years, but I do remember, I don't know how many of you have ever played King of the Hill, where you push everybody else down and you try to be the one left standing at the top of the hill. We had the most wonderful game of King on the propane tank one time with him. He was bigger than us, and so he won, but it was so much fun. We all tried to get on this propane tank and played King on the Hill, and You remember those things, and your heart is sad because you've lost somebody that you cared about, that you had good times with. But where's he gone? In the end, that's the end of all of us, is to go and eternally be with our Heavenly Father, and that He sees at all times. He always has our Heavenly Father an eternal vision. And He knows what's best for us eternally. And so, when you go to pray, take the Holy Spirit with you. Open up your heart. Be careful that it's pure. Lay out your needs before Him, because He is faithful. And He's not betrayed by all the ignorance of man, as we are. And then just let me end by saying, our state is a little harsh
in ways. We're kind of isolated, each of us. And so I'm very grateful to the Lord that we can get together in the way that we do here. But it is hard to, in a sense, be isolated. Let's consider that harshness and that incredible need, and lift each other up in prayer every day, personally. And let me emphasize the need, because, you know, you can pray in groups, and it's good. You can pray over your meals, you know, where other people are listening. But I'm going to admonish you to also make sure that every day you're taking out private time where you can isolate your mind from all other cares and go to the Lord in earnest prayer. And don't be betrayed by other things. I know I tend to pray when I drive. It's a little ways to work. It's a little ways home. But, you know, I really can't isolate my mind the same when I'm driving. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, but Friday I was on the way home from work, and all the cares of my heart, I was praying and, you know, trying to solve the problems at work, and man, I blasted a stop sign. Went right through a four-way stop. I missed it completely because I was so distracted. So it's just an illustration that don't let it suffice just to pray in the car, and don't be distracted from the business that you're trying to do at the time. But on the other hand, do yourself the favor of setting up an instance of prayer where you don't have anything else going on. You're not driving, you're not at school. You can isolate from all those things and literally enrich your life by completely focusing on the Lord in prayer. So pray for us here. I will pray for you. And let's strengthen one another in that way. I love you all, and thanks for the time.
John just had to step away, but he's right back.
Okay.
He did ask Gabe to, or otherwise me, to say the closing prayer, and then he had some comments afterwards.
Okay.
Go to it. Dear God, thanks for bringing us here today, bringing us together so we could hear your word and be able to discuss it. With that, please help us to, first of all, finish that reading assignment and then be able to discuss it with our own parties, and that we can get better understanding together for, all together, for your purpose of prayer and how we should keep on doing that. I ask you that you be with us for the remainder of the day and the next week, that your spirit would stay with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, want to just real quickly thank everyone for their prayers, because it's obvious that they've been answered. Have a great week.
I wanted to thank everybody for praying for me. We've found out what's wrong with my foot. I've got a neuroma, and I chose to have the cortisone shot, for better or for worse. I think for better. So I'm able to walk better on my foot. And I'd like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
Love you all.
Love you too. Jerry, what was our homework?
The 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter of 2 Nephi.
Right. Got it. Thanks.
We broke the record time.
What?
Okay.
Brian's saying we spiked a record time, because we went over so far.
I apologize.
That's
so nice. Nothing to apologize for.
Yeah, we enjoyed the sermon.
Love it. It was good.
Jerry, Benny.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
Funny.
Thursday I'm going to be out of town. I got a business trip.
Okay.
So.
Would you guys have a moment this afternoon?
Yep.
Yep.
I have basketball with the boys at 3 o'clock, which is
2 o'clock and 1 o'clock.
So I'll be leaving here probably around 2, which is 1 o'clock your time, Benny, and noon your time, Johnny.
Right.
So maybe after that, maybe?
We'll be home
around. Yeah. Yeah, we'll
What time? 5 o'clock your time, Johnny, maybe?
Which That's fine.
Is that okay?
That's
love
fine.
You all.
All right. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Cindy? Yes?
Thanks, all. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. So, can I have your mom's and dad's address sometime so that I could write them and tell them that we're praying for them?
Well, that would be nice. Do you have a pencil now? I could give it to you.
Oh, okay, I've got pencils. And okay. How's Amy?
She was doing a little better over the weekend. They redid her medicines, and so she's still in pain, but it's more tolerable, and she also is not, I mean, the other ones were messing with her, being able to stay awake, you know, and think and all that, so.
Uh-huh.
So she's...